Welcome to EAA Radio. It's 12:48, and joining in the studio today is Just Jim. Hello. And Kevin Rothy from NORAD. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Excellent. And what do you do at NORAD?
So that's a great question. I am the FAA liaison for NORAD, and we have a civil aviation education training program where we try to get out to pilots and talk to them about temporary flight restrictions, what they're about, what resources they can use to stay up to date on where the TFRs are located and how to avoid them. And then also, if that doesn't work out, what the intercept procedures are and what to do if you're intercepted by a fighter.
Okay, so let's go back to the basics. What is a temporary flight restriction? And all right. What would cause this temporary flight restriction?
So a temporary flight restriction is, for some reason, a government agency feels they need to limit the aircraft that are flying around a certain area. That could be for a, as we're familiar with sporting events, an open stadium with more than 30,000 people. If there's a forest fire, they'll put up a TFR for those. Also for air shows, where they want to limit the number of people that are flying in around an area that are sightseeing that might be interfering with an operation. For instance, the forest fire, we don't want people flying around looking at buildings burn and the forest burn down because there's people in there working doing fire bombing and trying to fight the fire. Also, there are what we call National Special Security Event TFRs that we put up, and that would be for a big event such as the Super Bowl, the UN, the G8 convention, those big events that have a lot of publicity, a lot of politicians, and also for any time the president leaves the Capitol. We put up a TFR for those. And those National Special Security Event TFRs and the presidential VIP TFRs are ones that NORAD defends. We actually will launch fighters to intercept anybody who has gone into one of those types of TFRs.
Okay, so I don't want to be intercepted by a fighter. So what do I have to do to make sure I don't get intercepted by a fighter?
All right, so it's really about being aware. Right now, we launch fighters about 300 times a year to intercept people that have gone into a TFR or have gone into the National Capital Region or have crossed a, have entered the U.S. without doing the appropriate procedures. So we are trying to educate people and into good, proper pre-flight planning. And there's some great resources. My favorite is the FAA website. It's tfr.faa.gov. And you can go on there, and I figure that is the sole source, that is straight from the FAA, where the active TFRs are at. Anytime the president travels, the Secret Service doesn't publish his itinerary for a number of reasons. One is security, as you can imagine, until 48 hours prior, and that's when the TFRs are then put on that website. So if you're within 48 hours of a flight, you can look and see if there's going to be any TFRs that are affecting your cross-country flight on the website. Obviously, there are some TFRs that pop up short notice. For instance, a forest fire. As soon as there's a forest fire, they put up the TFR as soon as the fire bombers are in there. But and also, I guess with the presidential ones, the president might change his itinerary last minute. There might be something's changed with the schedule, or there might be another place he needs to go. So there are instances where TFRs show up less than 48 hours in advance. But that is the minimum we try to put those out.
So it always pays to check this before you go out flying and make sure that you have the most current information.
Absolutely. You know, most people will start thinking about a flight a couple days prior. So within 48 hours, you can check. We recommend either on your way to the airport or right before getting in the airplane, checking one last time to see what's shown up. And if you're on a long cross country, call a flight service station en route and see if anything has popped up down the road. And probably the biggest one that gets people is they've gone off to get their $500 hamburger or to go to grandma's house. The return home, there's not nearly as good of flight planning as the flight out there. They figure they're just going to go the same way or follow the breadcrumbs. However, you do need to check the TFRs in that instance to make sure nothing has popped up while you've been on the ground.
Yeah, just in case the president decides to change his schedule.
Absolutely.
Right, yeah. Maybe he wanted that $100 hamburger. Right. So now, are there any kind of partnerships where this information is easily available on apps on your smartphones or, you know, tablets?
Absolutely. There's some great resources. I'm just going to mention some that come off the top of my head, not that are any better than the other, but for instance, like 4Flight. There's wonderful apps that are on the iPad, smartphones, tablets, Garmin, and you can get current data through like an XM data link or the ADS-B data link.
Also, so on XM and ADS-B, they're sending all the TFR information on that link also.
Yes, it's pretty much real time. They continually update it. One thing I will warn people, though, although this is great technology and great resource, and people really become, I don't say complacent, but they dependent on it, is that the TFRs that are shown on those displays are based on the scheduled times. However, a TFR is in effect until Air Force One is airborne and gears up.
Oh, so sometimes if, you know, the president is running late, then
absolutely, that's
the TFR might get extended.
Yeah, does an extra fundraiser or stops, kiss a couple extra babies, or there's traffic or whatever.
Right.
The TFR on your iPad will disappear. Usually they're like a red ring is how most apps will display them. That red ring will disappear when in effect is the TFR is still in effect. So you really got to watch that. And the best source for that real-time information is air traffic control. And so I warn people, don't cut it so close that you're trying to get in there 2 minutes after the TFR goes down. I've been in this situation before where trying to fly out to Los Angeles, the president's in town, and he was 50 minutes late. So we ended up having to hold. And I did contact the air traffic controller, and I was complying with what we recommend is being on a VFR flight plan, talking to air traffic control and carrying a discrete squawk, for instance, like VFR flight following, or if you're on an IFR flight plan, you'd have a discrete squawk. That way they know who you are, what your intentions are, where you're going, and you're talking to somebody. And then the controller knows the status of that TFR and will keep you from going into it.
Oh, good. So we're speaking with Ken Rothy from NORAD. And so all I have to do is make sure when I file my flight plan, or I should file a flight plan, and if I get VFR following for them on IFR flight plan, I, in theory, shouldn't run into an actual problem.
Yes, if you're on an IFR flight plan, for sure. You're on positive control, and they will steer you clear of the TFRs if one does pop up. A VFR flight plan doesn't necessarily guarantee that you will, unless you are getting the VFR flight
following. Yes.
Absolutely.
But it's still probably very important to check for the TFRs ahead of time, because VFR flight following isn't... they can't always offer it.
Right.
It's based on availability.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, you can't rely on that as your only... And I know there are a lot of pilots out there that... I used to be this way when I started flying when I was 16 years old, is I would rather not file a flight plan. I would like to take off, be able to go where I want to go, but...
You're just going out for a little ride.
Absolutely, yeah. You're taking some friends up, or you're going and getting that $500 hamburger. I'm not really sure how I want to go. They might follow the river or go check out the golf course on the way or whatever.
Right, but you're going in an area that you're familiar with and just having a good time.
Absolutely.
Flying your friends over their houses. And
that's the trouble, is people have this comfort area that they do minimal flight planning for. If it's just to take off from the local airport to go fly over grandma's house or whatever, fly over their own house, take pictures. And I understand, I've done this 100 times before. I look outside, the weather's nice, let's go fly. But unfortunately, that is not enough anymore. You need to really get on one of these websites and check and make sure that there is not a TFR.
So I've made a mistake. I did not do these things.
Well.
I leave grandma's house, and I'm en route home, and I bust into a TFR. You said you work with the intercept process. So tell me from your side what that looks like, and what do I do when I'm suddenly flanked by F-16s?
Okay, that's a great question. So first, before we launch a fighter, we will try to get a hold of you on the radio, either with the air traffic control frequency that you should be on, or 121.5, which we recommend everybody monitor. If we can't get a hold of you on the radio, then if it is indeed a presidential TFR or one of these special security, like you're flying over the Super Bowl,
right,
then we are going to launch fighters. We got to figure out what's going on, what your intentions are. So what you can expect is we launch two fighters. We always fly with the wingman. One of them is going to come up on your left-hand side. They're going to look at your tail number and send that back to see if there's anything weird with that tail number, maybe stolen aircraft or it's been reported or whatever. They're going to check what's going on in the cockpit, make sure that the pilot is flying, mm-hmm, and there's no weapons, or guy's not asleep, or reading the Wall Street Journal, or whatever, as well as rock their wings, and that's the international signal that you've been intercepted.
Uh-huh.
A lot of these slower flying airplanes, we don't go any slower than 200 knots.
I was going to say, how do you intercept my 172?
So, no self-respecting fighter pilot's going to get less than 200 knots.
Right.
So, we're going to fly by and just set up what we call a racetrack pattern to continually, we'll turn back around and come back and pass again. Again, rocking our wings. As I mentioned, we always fly with two. And a lot of people say, well, I'm just going to slow my Piper Cub down to 40 knots and you'll be able to hang with me. Well, the second guy, his whole job is to stay behind you. So he's going to do everything he can, loops, rolls, whatever, to stay behind you, no matter how slow you go. And we train to this, to stay in an offensive position in case something weird starts happening.
Right.
So that's what you expect. What you're supposed to do is rock your wings, which is acknowledging that you've been intercepted, and then remain predictable. And then get on the radio. And 121.5 works great because the air traffic controller there, the air defense sector controllers there, as well as the fighters are on 121.5 waiting to talk to you.
Gotcha.
Listen to what they tell you. Be compliant. Turn the direction. They're going to steer you away. And then they'll decide what they're going to do, whether how egregious the violation was. They may have some TSA or local law enforcement people that wait on the ground to talk to you, in which case they'll tell you which airport they want you to land at. If it was just a, oh, I accidentally just went in the little corner, everything's cool, they get you on your way, they may just say, okay, have a safe flight. Or
check your TFRs next time. Yeah.
Or it might be they'll say, okay, proceed to your destination, call 1-800-FA so you can explain yourself.
Gotcha.
Well, we do appreciate you coming in and telling us all about TFRs and hopefully keeping some people out of trouble, like Jim over here. and you're listening to EAA Radio.